I'm Finn.
I'm Sori.
That's Booby.
And Vita and Chip and Colby.
This is a band, not only a band that I've never heard before, but a band I've never heard of until you just brought it up just now.
You asked me if it was a rap? What did you say?
I thought it was a rap. I was like, rapper? Because there's a rapper, I think, named Muse. But I guess this is a band. Okay?
This is the Sin and Glory Alliance.
This is who is that Colby's group?
All I know
who
is
that Sin and Glory.
I think Peter specifically picked this and it finally was able to get picked by the group.
Oh, so Peter, my guy, my buddy?
Yeah.
my Austrian buddy?
Look, not going to say anything about the Sire band except it was my choice. And I win in one of the Sin and Glory group. Yay! Greets and hope you enjoy it. From their album, The Resistance.
Okay, all right, okay. All right, well. Peter's, I'll tell you what though, if I was in a group, I'd have a very, very difficult time saying no to Peter.
Oh, yeah.
He's just such a beautiful brother. I would just, oh, fine, Peter. Let's do Muse, okay? Hmm? I'm pretty sure Colby manages that group. I think the Sin and Glory group is probably like the most involved group that there is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, they invited me to their group, so I'm probably speaking from low sources, but like he does video stuff and there's like a wheel and
oh really?
Yeah, like he really, if it's Colby, I'm not, hold on, there's a Sin and Glory thing right there. Oh, I think that's Epic Underground. I don't know.
Look, are you sure it's not Damon's group? The Sin and Glory is not Damon's group?
No, Damon is in True Cult.
Oh.
You're killing me.
I'm confused by the whole thing. I keep telling people to send me videos so I can advertise it for them. All right.
Well, since I manage Facebook, I'm in the, this is their, yeah, it's Colby's group. See, this is their page. They've got a page, it's like an invite-only page. Oh, like, they're wow. not playing around.
No, I guess.
And they, wow. like, this is, like, see, like, look what he mm-hmm. does. Like, he's super, super involved. And, like, he does little videos and spin wheels and stuff. And they're,
that's
like,
cool.
They talk to each other a ton. I'm not saying the other groups don't talk to each other. I'm just saying that Colby, he manages that shit very tight. So, Peter, shout out to Colby and Jay and the rest of those guys. Thank you. First of all, I just got to say thank you to all the Alliance leaders.
Oh, yeah.
The Alliance leaders, Damon, Sage, Peter, getting us the Trello thing. It's really been a lifesaver. So, thank you guys.
Oh, my
Jay,
word. Yeah.
Pony.
The Trello thing has been huge.
It's been huge.
So
who was that, Peter?
Peter's the one that kept saying we needed to do it, yeah. And
Peter, but he's so nice, he's European, you know, so Peter's not going to tell you, like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, you guys need to kind of, you know, maybe you can try this.
Yep.
Good brother. Beautiful brother. All right, let's go. Uprising Muse, let's do it. If you want one of those shirts, it's in the little email thingamajiggy. I can't say you'll look as cool as Sori.
And I was gonna say it doesn't come in maternity on the website.
Yeah, I just
you
think,
can get a regular.
I just
shirt.
Think you've used the child as an excuse to gain weight. I just want to trigger people. I think we've done a very good job at triggering them. All right, let's go.
Go.
Truth confined.
Was there something about it that was a little bit familiar? I have not heard this song before.
Not at all.
But there was something in there that I was like, that is a little bit familiar, and I don't know why.
Nope. I don't think so.
But you and I had a completely different life, so... Just because it's not familiar to you.
What genre did, what's his... With,
oh, did David, I don't know if he
did
said.
Did David say it was a genre?
I don't know. No, he said he's not going to say anything about it. He just says from their album, The Resistance. So...
Say again?
He didn't say, he just said it was from their album called The Resistance.
Okay, well, I have to see. Muse?
Honey, do you know where my mints are?
I'm sorry, honey. What happened?
I just...
What about some of these? Do you want some of these?
Nope.
Really?
No, it's not working. I need mint.
Okay. They're an English rock band. They're just rock, I guess. Alternative, progressive, hard rock, art rock?
Okay.
Space rock, electronica. Space rock. You know, I've been really into the space. You know what I think triggered the space stuff for me?
No, what?
Is, because I've been, like, very spacey for the last... It's the books that Zonia sent. The pizza guy, it's like a space thing, and then there's, like, a whole series of books. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Did you start reading them?
Will you be upset if I read them without you?
No.
Oh. Okay, we'll talk about it later. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's why I'm all into space and stuff. Alright. Alright, so here we go. What did you think the song was about?
It just sounded like they were gonna fight against something. They were gonna come together to go against something.
They.
Hmm?
They.
Who do you think the they is?
Yeah, who do you, because it's a rise up song, it's a resistance song, yeah. Obviously.
I don't know, the fat cats?
Yeah, the fat cats are gonna get a heart attack.
No, I just assumed it was like the people on top.
Yeah, I felt like this was like the political industrial sort of, not necessarily anti-capitalism or anti-anarchy, but it's more like, one of the things, when I launched the Middle America channel, and one of the things that I strongly believe about the what we're doing in our community and the offshoot with Middle America is that I believe there are elements within our government that benefit from us being at each other's throats.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, the whole... It kind of like, you know, this is going to be controversial, but the Bernie thing. Bernie was kind of one of those guys... That was because we are, you know, conservative, right-leaning, evangelical Christians, but he appealed to both of us.
Right, yes.
And if Bernie would have been an option, we would have took him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that that got taken away from us. Like, the guy who could kind of, like, bring us together and unify us, you know, the guy that would sit down in the barbershop and actually have a conversation, you know, like, that guy got taken away from us. And then we get these two polarizing figures who are just completely about... You know, you got Trump, which there's a whole laundry list of things where he was divisive.
Oh, I know.
And then, well, you had Hillary that stood in the camera and basically said anybody that supported Trump was a bag of deplorables. And it's like, oh, okay, so those people in the Midwest who've seen all their jobs get shipped overseas because of your NAFTA thing with you and your husband 20 years ago, like, they're all just deplorable. It was just this really ripped us to shreds. And I just feel like that, you know, I'm not getting all conspiratorial. Just like, I don't think it necessarily has to be a shadow government. I just think it's, look, the way things are, as long as there's this division and this, like, stark contrast, then we will never get together and foam at the real change that we need to happen. Mm-hmm. And as long as, like, the sides are, like, so far apart from each other and want to murder each other, and we will never be able to, like, go where we need to go as a country for everybody.
Yeah.
Because if you it's the whole divide and conquer thing. I strongly, strongly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Bernie was a perfect candidate. I'm just saying the type of candidate that he was.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was, let's talk, you know, let's come together, don't need the ad hominem, we don't need to insult each other, you know, when Hillary was standing up, he's like, first and foremost, we're not talking about the emails and all that. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have, that was red meat, he's like, we're not going there. And I just felt like that type of candidate was taken away from us so that we could have more of the traditional, name calling and the.
You think so?
Oh, for sure. For sure, for sure. For sure. Because when have you ever seen a candidate like that? No. You know?
Yeah.
Like, both sides were so busy demonizing the other side.
Oh, yeah.
And like.
It was, and it seemed like both candidates, it was so like, I don't know, unreasonable. It was, it just was like, well, I don't trust Hillary because she's friggin' lied so much.
Right.
And Hillary was so, you know, like the typical political whatever, like,
right.
You know, like when you think of a politician, like she fit that very well.
She was the epitome of
you just
politics.
Don't trust them,
right.
You know, and then it's not like, like Trump had so many issues too, but at the same time, he was coming right out and saying some things like whatever he thought, even if it wasn't like a political thing to say, he was saying it. So it kind of put you in a situation where you were like, I don't really want either one of them, but you know what I mean? Where Bernie, he was like, he seemed honest for a politician,
right.
You know, and he seemed like he was about the people, and he had done work back when he was younger,
sure.
You know, and stuff. And so, and he just seemed like that, like kind of had that grandfather calming sort of feel, and I don't know. But.
Well, you never heard anybody with Bernie say, well, he's the lesser of two evils.
No, right.
You never heard anybody say that. But with Trump, a lot of evangelicals were saying that to justify putting him in the White House. And it's the same thing with Hillary. A lot of people saying, yeah, she's not ideal, but you guys, what are you going to do under the left Trump?
Right, right.
And so, like, this song is kind of like, when he's talking about they, I think it's just talking about, like, the governmental system that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I've been very critical of anarchists in our fireside chats.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that pure anarchism can is compatible with human nature, because I think hierarchy is inevitable.
Uh-huh.
But I was listening to Noam Chomsky, and he was talking about how it's not necessarily we hate government, we want chaos, but what he said something to the effect of, you have to justify your authority.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of his philosophies anyway. And so he was saying, you have to justify your authority. And I think it's gotten way out of whack to where their authority is now assumed and not justified.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do whatever I want. I can choke you off the side of the street. I can pull a gun on you. I can shoot you if I feel threatened.
Yeah, well, I
can
know.
Kill you.
Yeah.
But if you feel threatened, you can't shoot me. It's all this crazy, like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And we're just accepting this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think once in a while, you got to be able to say, well, wait a second. And you got to put the people in power in a situation where they have to re-justify their authority.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole reason that you had, you know, elections every 4 years and things like that, because that was sort of the idea, was that they would have to justify why they should be in authority.
Yeah.
But then what happened was we just, you know, bifurcated into a two-party system, and the only justification for them being authority is that they're not the other party.
Yeah, yeah.
So every 4 to 8 years, it's just a seesaw.
Yes.
So they don't have to justify their authority. All they have to do is say, well, we're not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not that guy is not the same thing as this is a justified reason for why I should be in authority.
Yeah.
So this song is actually, you know, when you talk about mind control and things like that, interchanging mind control.
Yep.
That's, you know, the Democrat, it's just interchanging. And our minds are being controlled and we don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jimmy Dore was saying, I'm not voting for Hillary. And so Jimmy Dore is this progressive guy, which is like what we would consider probably like far left.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like this social, democratic socialism and all this other stuff. And I don't agree with everything that obviously not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not with the abortion stuff. But so Jimmy Dore is like, no, I'm not voting for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam Sater went after him, like, all these people went after Jimmy Dore because how dare you say you're not voting for Hillary, and Jimmy Dore has quite a following. So they were upset because here's Jimmy Dore using his power. Like, people don't realize, like, this is your mind is being controlled. Like, you don't get it. Because now you're coming after Jimmy Dore and blaming him for and everybody who voted third party for Hillary losing. And then it's like, you're a bad person for exercising your ability to vote and vote your conscience and vote for the best candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the same thing on the right wing side where people say, I cannot vote for Trump in good conscience. I can't do it. It's not consistent with my Christian ideals.
Yeah.
And people are like, and then all these Christian people were coming out. Pastors were saying, if you don't vote for Trump, God's going to judge you and yada, 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 yada. Yeah, it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. So it's like people don't even realize the mind control that's happening to where you will voluntarily participate in a interchanging two-party system and you're not getting it. If you could flip the switch and open your third eye, you'd see that we should never be afraid to die. That's interesting. So you know the third eye stuff. The third eye is a sort of, it's really an Eastern way of talking about your being able to see into the spirit world, basically. Mm-hmm. Being able to see beyond general perception. Mm-hmm. So Joe Rogan and I think it's Terrence McKenna and Dennis McKenna, I think, also talk about DMT and the pineal gland, which is like right around here.
Yeah.
The pineal gland, they're theorizing that that's what DMT is activating when you go off into...
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the what they're trying to do is kind of meld, you know, ancient wisdom, third eye, with scientific data and say, okay, your DMT, dimethyltryptamine, is activating your pineal gland, and when that gets activated, then you get these other perceptions, and you know you come back with, you know, life altering decisions and experiences.
So they don't believe that you go anywhere.
Well, it's very hazy. I think Terrence McKenna was more of like, you go somewhere. His brother is kind of like, it's all coming from your mind because you're there in the chair. You're there in the chair. You're not, you know.
Yeah.
You don't phase out anywhere. I mean, you
No, I guess I thought that, you know, like people can have like out of body experiences.
Right.
Like I thought that like that's what was happening is you leave. Yeah, your body is still there, but you go to another dimension.
Well, there's some people that believe that that's what happens. As a matter of fact, the Spirit Molecule documentary, that's basically what they think happens is you literally go somewhere. Yeah. You literally meet these people.
Honestly, I don't know which one's more creepy to me. That you would actually like leave and go to another dimension, or that the entire friggin' thing is all in your head.
Yeah.
Both of them have a really scary feel to it. Okay.
Yeah.
Which one's more scary to you?
Neither one of them are scary to me.
None of them are scary to you.
It's not scary to me at all. You get scared about stuff. You get scared about stuff you can't control.
Yes.
But.
Yeah, I do.
You know, that doesn't bother me much, but. You know, so if, and a lot of people, like, when they get to that state of consciousness, that third eye, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Tool talks about it a lot, too.
Yeah, I know, so I was thinking about when you're talking about it.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of, like, subliminal DMT stuff in Tool. Especially with the interlocking shapes and things, the geometric stuff. And yeah. A lot of people, that's what they hear when they're on a DMT trip. Mm-hmm. Or see. They hear, anyway, but you should see we should never be afraid to die. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when these people go on these trips. They lose their fear of death.
Why?
Because they're like, okay, this is where you go when you die. They're like, this is what it's going to be like.
Some of them have terrifying experiences.
Yeah, some of them do. That's why I said a lot, not everybody. But a lot of the people, like, they have positive experiences. They meet these machine elves and other things that are like, give them unconditional love or whatever. And so they're like, oh, this is what it's
but
like.
But they don't know why some people see evil and some people see something nice.
Well, it's basically like, hey, you are a bad person, so you needed you needed a spanking from the ayahuasca, the lady, the blue lady.
Oh.
So it's just like, you were bad, basically. But most people have, a lot of people have positive
experience. See, I feel like I would see something bad just because I don't want to see something bad.
You'd see something bad because you're always full of fear about stuff you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'd have a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
But so the people that have wonderful experiences, they come back. They're not afraid to die anymore. Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, from our perspective, extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. Considering our very intricate belief system about what happens in that dimension. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like you have this experience and then you rise up and you take the power back. It's time the fat cats had a heart attack. You know that their time is coming to an end. We have to unify and watch our flag ascend. That's it right there. And it's a very strange world we're living in now. Because, you know, 10, 20 years ago, like, how many people from Austria and Iran and like, do you talk to regularly like 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none.
Right? Like, now I talk to people regularly from literally all over the world on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, we talk to Ian, you know, every third day or something like that. Ian's in the freaking UK. So it's like, it's a very, I was having a conversation with somebody about John Locke and John Locke's understanding of the Dominion Mandate and how it melded with capitalism. Because he wasn't a Christian per se, but he was sort of like the grounding perspective of, you know, the Dominion Mandate, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And I said, yeah, man, but do you think that John Locke could have envisioned the internet?
Yeah, really.
Because his whole thing was property. The government was supposed to maintain the protection of personal property. That was... But like, I'm like, do you think that Locke could envision the internet? And here's my point. My point is, when it says we have to unify and watch our flag ascend, like, that has like a crazy meaning now, because when it says our, it's not just our country.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff at the especially with the Trump thing, it was like, make America great again. And I understand the subliminal, you know, implications of that. But it was also like, we're losing ourselves, and we've got to get it back, and we've got to take it back. And of course, there was a lot of this, like, you know, demonizing the left.
Yeah.
Now, of course, now my question is, okay, but are you demonizing the fat cats? Are you doing the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, the answer is...
And then it just makes another...
The answer is yes, but their answer is yeah, but the difference is that these guys are actually demons. whereas, you know, Hillary calling those poor people over in the Midwest deplorables was not right.
Uh-huh.
And then Trump talking about, you know, disrespecting every woman in the on the planet, that wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
These are innocent victims who are just trying to make their way through life. Like your typical liberal girl over there in New York City, she's not trying to destroy the planet. She's just trying to make her way through life.
Right.
She's not trying to, like, ruin everything.
Right.
And most of them don't even want to have abortions and things like that when they get put in those situations. So they're not out there to destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then Trump and the right demonizes this girl. And then on the other side, you got the poor guy in, you know, whatever, in the Midwest or whatever. And he's trying his hardest. He just lost his pension or whatever. And here comes friggin' Donald Trump showing up on his magic carpet saying, I'm going to fix all of that. Well, I mean... So I'm saying what they would say is, no, these guys are demons.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary and Trump and that entire complex of power, those people are demonic, because they're keeping people in a certain state of being that, and it doesn't change for anybody, but they keep recycling their seats of power.
Mm-hmm.
They will not force us. They will stop degrading us. They will not control us. We will be victorious. This is kind of like Pollyannish, huh? Like we're gonna make it.
I didn't think Pollyannish.
What did you think?
It just made me think of any group that groups together, Antifa, anybody. Like, they'll not force us. They'll stop degrading us. They won't control us. We're gonna be victorious. It just, that's what the theme behind everybody's movement is. That's how everybody, you know, we're going forward.
It wasn't ours.
What?
We started our little revolution down there in downtown. That wasn't it.
Well, I mean, not the people, but when you think of, like, satanic forces or whatever, whatever.
It still wasn't an emphasis.
Being victorious?
Yeah.
Sing songs about it.
Yeah. It's more like changing people for the good. There was no bad guy that we were going after.
The bad guy was the drugs, the negative spiritual influences, the...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. Because our thing was like, we wanted to renew the area.
Yeah.
We wanted to see it become renewed, and we wanted people to be happy.
Yeah.
And of course, what was impeding that was, drugs here. Oh, because we initially weren't even going downtown for those people. Like, that was not our original mission. Our original mission was not to deal with drug addicted people.
Oh, no, that's right. We went down there to talk to Muslims.
See what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it was just about seeing the place renewed and seeing people, you know, meet Jesus.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm harping on that is, like, I almost wonder if those types of movements are always going to be doomed to fail because they need a bad guy for it to sustain itself. Because let's say, for example, that you, the they, that you overcome and destroy. Mm-hmm. Let's say they're out of the way. Then what? How does
the group stay together?
How do you function? How do you stay together? Yeah. And how do you not replicate, you know, like
then a hierarchy comes in. Yeah.
Right. Right. The animal farm where some animals are, you know, you drove the guy out of the barn and now the pig's at the top and some animals are more equal than others, you know. Mm-hmm. That's like one of my favorite lines of all time. Some animals are more equal. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
Oh, yeah,
Whoa, that was brilliant. Whoa, that was... Woo! Yeah. Let me not...
Believe it or not, that's actually one book that we did have to read.
Really?
Yeah. Animal Farm.
That was pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Such a good book. Another promise, another seed, another package lie to keep us trapped in greed. There it is.
Yeah. I didn't know what the green belt wrapped around our mind. What's that?
I read this other book in April. It was actually after I read, we had to read Grapes of Wrath. So we read Grapes of Wrath. And then there was another one. The title of the book escapes me, but basically the government, one of the things that they did to control people, I want to say it wasn't 1984. But anyway, one of the things the government did to control people was they gave you these belts. And in the descriptions, it was green.
Yeah.
But it had like, contraceptives and all this. It was basically like a free pass to have as much pleasure as you wanted without any consequence. So it was like contraceptives and all this, and it was this belt, and hey, if you wanted to jump in your pleasure, you could, and you had this green belt, and you could do as much as you wanted.
This is real?
It was in the book. It wasn't real. It was it's one of these dystopian worlds or whatever. Okay. So, green belts wrapped around our minds. It's like when the government like gives you something to like heighten up your pleasure so that you don't really see what's going on. It was kind of like This Is America, right? Where he's dancing and everybody's dancing. People get shot all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's like the entertainment industry, how it works with the government. Like,
we never released that, did we?
We never released that.
You could have put it on the Middle America channel, though.
Probably, yeah. I probably could have put that on the Middle America channel. Because it was a cultural moment. It just didn't fit with the channel.
No, it didn't. But it would have fit there.
Rap songs are very hard to do because we focus so much on lyrics, and rap is so dense on lyricism. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things about, like, you know, when we talk about pornography, people are like, oh, why are you talking about pornography?
Yeah.
Okay, initially, sure, it's about, we have a Christian sexual ethos, so of course, you know, we don't think it's a healthy thing. Mm-hmm. But I also think that, and it's been proven, you know, go to fightthenewjerk.com. Fightthenewjerk.com, by the way, is not even a Christian. They're not even a Christian organization. But they do talk about the effects on brain chemistry that pornography has on people.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's a really crazy thing that this thing is so ubiquitous. And like we're fighting for our lives right now in the world, not even just our country, the world. We got ISIS, we got Eat the Rich, we got socialism, we got democratic socialism, we got grabbing by the junk, we got the war, we got all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you have millions of people, not only just dudes, but women too, like enslaved to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't,
Yeah.
So you got millions of people enslaved to this thing, and then we know that it messes with your neurons or whatever it is. Alec, help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna tell me that doesn't affect what we do and who's in power and what? You know, it's like, that's a pretty smart line. It's probably prescient. He probably wasn't going there, but like to me, it's like, you know, is there anything else that is that ubiquitous? You know, and that destructive and that mind altering that millions of people are doing.
Yeah, and it's not like back in the day, like people didn't put it out there, you know.
No, yeah.
Sometimes, like I'll see you like in discussions with people, and they'll be like, "All right, I gotta go. I gotta get on my porn," or "No, I can't share my screen right now because I got some really good porn up here."
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Like this is so crazy.
And then somebody said, "Delete it," and then he's like, "Nah, I'm not deleting it. It's really good."
Yeah, he said it was really good. Yeah, it just was crazy to me because I'm like, the way that it is now, it's like become like a boasting thing for people. Like it's something that's destructive, but it's not something that's like looked down on or shamed. You know what I mean? Now it's like, it's like, oh yeah, I get some, you know, and it's destructive as hell. And it's, you know, like we said, check out that site. It's pretty interesting, you know, because you might say, oh, well, they're Christians, but that's why they have that perspective on
fight
it.
The new drug.
Fight the New Drug is not Christian at all. And they're just coming from, you know,
Yeah, that's the other thing about the internet, the access to pleasure and the dopamine, and I forgot what the guy's name was, but it wasn't even the attainment of pleasure, but it was the anticipation of the attainment of pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is what generates that dopamine kick. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's a crazy thing where I don't think there's like a government pulling the strings type thing that's controlling all of it. I just think it's a very convenient coincidence. Mm-hmm. And I mean that literally, like it's a very convenient coincidence where it's like, oh wow, we've got this thing and it's absolutely a drug and let's keep them doped up. And as long as you got your porn and you don't pay no attention to what's going on over here.
How do you know that you know, like the government put like drugs into the black community and stuff like that? Like, yeah. How do you know that there's nothing like that?
Because I don't believe that anybody could see how ubiquitous pornography was going to be in concert with the internet. I think that that's one of those cultural phenomena that just happened. Because like you said, people were not out there like that with pornography. Mm. It was always like a, mm-hmm. you know, and then we slowly got desensitized to it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I'm like, it's one of those things where I don't believe that these guys are omniscient. They're not God. They don't know everything. Mm-hmm. So... but they're definitely jumping on it and saying, hey, let's use this. And then the endless red tape to keep the truth confined. There you go. Mm-hmm. Silence and free speech.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is Jordan Peterson's jihad with, I think it's C-16, where in Jordan Peterson's mind, it was the government's attempt to control speech. Mm-hmm. By saying that if you don't refer to a trans person by their pronouns, then that would be considered hate speech and mm-hmm. da 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 da. And he fought like hell against that. Mm-hmm. And then Colin Kaepernick's kneeling, mm-hmm. where he was saying, "I'm kneeling in protest to police brutality," or whatever. What's interesting to me is that the left wing went after Peterson for wanting to protect speech.
Yep.
And then the right wing went after Colin Kaepernick for exercising his free speech. Yeah. So because you're on, but again, because you have this bifurcated, I'm a left winger, I'm a right winger, mm-hmm. we're not realizing, wait a second here, what's actually being done?
Yeah.
Hey, this guy's kneeling, it's an expression of free speech. Hey, this guy's saying he's concerned about free speech. Mm-hmm. But because you're on your different thing, like that's a crazy thing. Like the government doesn't even need to silence you anymore. The government doesn't even need to censor you, because they've got us in so many in these camps that we'll just censor each other. Mm-hmm. Now you get the president getting on there and fire the sons of bitches. You know what he said about the football players?
I know, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And he knows that he can get away with it because it's a right-wing topic, so you gotta ride or die with Trump. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
so it's
yeah.
like it's this crazy thing where now it's not even about the government controlling us anymore. Like, we are so brainwashed that mm-hmm. we attempt to control each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, I see it all the time on Middle America. I shoot one positive video about Trump. The left is trying to come and control what I say. Mm-hmm. Say something good about... I say something bad about Trump. The right wing is trying to control what I say. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So, like, you don't even need the government to do that anymore. You know, you can just do that yourself. Mm-hmm. You're just going to do it yourself. Like, the system is so ingrained, it's unbelievable. But I also think that the internet's really going to be the undoing of that entire system. Mm-hmm. Because I think if enough people get together in enough clumps, you need millions of little mini communities where people say, all right, what do you believe? Mm-hmm. Why do you believe that? And no, I'm not going to listen to what Fox News says about you, girl from New York with liberal ideas. No, I'm not going to listen to what Rachel Maddow says about you, guy in his 50s over there in Minnesota. Tell me what you actually believe.
Yeah.
And then we start talking to each other and get to know each other and go, okay, I think so-and-so is crazy on this idea, but they're a good person.
Yep.
So we need to find a candidate that can cut between the two of us. Mm-hmm. And I think over time that's going to be the undoing of this entire system. And I don't know what's going to emerge. Because I think, you know, when I talk to BM Fan and I talk to M Def Fan, who are on completely different sides of the aisle, and I talk to Tina, who's always conciliatory. Tina's always trying to find a way to say, okay, can't we all just, like, you know, get together and, you know, whatever. Like, I feel like eventually all of us on a global level are going to come up with a system that works for everybody, because we'll actually have talked to each other for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so like,
yeah.
You know, somebody, Dan calls in from Australia and he's breaking down what's going on in Australia, because it's freaking crazy what's happening in Australia. Like, every 2 weeks they get a new prime minister, or like the government gets on me. It's like insane. So it's like, it's going to take a long time, but I think that the internet is probably going to be the undoing of all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because
hopefully.
That's the one thing you cannot control.
Hopefully.
It's too big.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what do you get the song?
I wasn't really a fan of it. Six.
I wasn't
a
fan of
it.
I wasn't really a fan of it either, but he said a bunch of important stuff. Really important stuff. So I give it an 8.5. And honestly, it's getting about 2 points for the content of the message alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was that important to me. Because I think that they're onto something.
Mm-hmm.
Space rock, that's funny.
I do think it's an important message.
You just didn't like the packaging.
Nope.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Okay, well, 8.5 for me.
6 for me.
Vin out.
Story out.
Gone.
Tried to keep us all down, down, and hope that we will never see the truth around. Another promise, another sea.